Your hometown newspaper of the air brings you what's doing in Western Michigan. What's doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of the news and views of cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The summer festival season in Western Michigan is in full swing. Down in Marcellus, the residents of that Cache County village are settling back to a quiet existence for another year after a hectic but exciting weekend which marked the annual bluegill frolic. In Vicksburg, plans for the annual Frontier Days celebration are being made, and the queens to preside over that celebration have been picked. Pawpaw workers are planning for the Grape Festival, which is the annual event in that village, and committeemen in Lowell are busy with details of the showboat celebration to be held there late in July. Considering the large amount of activity, it's quite evident that the people of Western Michigan don't just sit back and take it easy during the summertime. Close to 20,000 persons were on hand for the Marcellus Bluegill Frolic, according to the Marcellus News. The throng of people was the largest crowd in the history of the village. Friday's entertainment was climaxed by the crowning of Queen Bernadine Swartz. At midnight Friday, the fishermen headed for nearby lakes, returning during the day on Saturday. A huge parade yesterday afternoon was followed by the presentation of awards for various fishing contests. The celebration continued until late Saturday night, and then the people of Marcellus headed to their homes, sleepy but full of memories of an exciting weekend. We were down there with our WKZO microphone on Saturday afternoon, and here's a recording of the prizes won on the fishing contest. First, a young lady here who I think won the prize for the largest bluegill. What was your name, please?
Faith McKellops.
And Faith, where do you live?
Valparaiso, Indiana.
Where did you catch your prize bluegill?
At Bogart Lake.
And how much did he weigh?
13 ounces.
13 ounces. Well, he was a dandy. About what time did you catch him?
About 6 o'clock.
And how old are you, Faith?
14.
Well, congratulations to you, and I think you get a prize of $25, don't you?
I guess so.
That's very wonderful. Thank you very much. And here's another lady who won the prize, I believe, for the best catch of 15 bluegills. May I ask your name, please?
Leon Middlestadt.
And where do you live, Leon?
Lawton, Michigan.
Where did you catch those 15 wonderful bluegills that you had?
Gulf Lake.
Gulf Lake, where is that?
That's about 3.5 miles southwest of Marcellus.
And I think your catch of 15 bluegills weighed 6 pounds and 9 ounces, am I correct?
That's right.
Well, that's very wonderful. You also get a prize of, what is your prize? $25,
yes.
Isn't it? Well, what are you going to do with all that money?
Oh, boy, I got it all spent.
Have you? Well, wonderful. What time did you go fishing this morning?
Oh, we went out early this morning. We went out again about 8 o'clock.
Did you get wet?
Wet, I guess we did.
I guess everybody did. Congratulations to you, Leon Middlestadt. And now here's the young fellow that caught the biggest bass. May I have your name, please?
Jack Welsh.
Did you catch that bass?
No, my father did, about 1 o'clock. Tonight, 1 o'clock last night, my father caught it.
Oh, and what is his name?
Ernie Welsh.
Where did he catch it?
Gravel Lake.
Mm-hmm. And I think that bass weighed 4 pounds and 3 ounces. Is that correct?
Right.
Well, that's a very fine bass. I think you get $5 and several baits. Do you not? Casting baits?
That's
your
right.
father does?
Yeah.
Congratulations to you and to him.
Thank you.
And now I'd like our listeners to meet the queen of the Marcellus Bluegill Frolic, Miss Bernadine Swartz. Good afternoon, Miss Swartz.
Good afternoon.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I sure am.
How does it feel to be a queen?
Swell.
Have you got anything you'd like to say to the folks of the radio audience about the Marcellus Bluegill Frolic?
Oh, well, we're having a swell time out here. We have a very large crowd, and I think this is one of the best advertisements for the bluegill.
That was a recording made yesterday afternoon at the Marcellus Bluegill Frolic. Turning now to Vicksburg, Vicksburg is assured of the construction of a new addition to Franklin Memorial Hospital. The Vicksburg Commercial announced the good news last week. At the time that the latest edition of the commercial went to press, almost $49,000 had been contributed to the fund drive. The final push, which put the drive over the top, was made possible by a sizable donation from the Kalamazoo Foundation. Along with the hospital drive, Vicksburg residents took the first step toward completing plans for the Frontier Days celebration. At a contest held in the Vicksburg School Auditorium Friday night, Miss Joanne Green, daughter of Lloyd Green of Vicksburg, was chosen queen of the celebration. In a contest to pick the Queen of Tomorrow, limited to contestants under 8 years of age, little Suzanne Yates, also of Vicksburg, was the winner. In Lowell, the first rehearsal has been held for the big showboat celebration, to be held there late in July. Many of the performers have already been selected and are now practicing their acts. The Sturgis Journal reported last week that an important election is to be held in Sturgis next Tuesday. The issue concerns the proposal to issue $140,000 in bonds for the construction of storm sewers in various sections of Sturgis. The Journal termed the proposal the second step in a long-range improvement program. The first step was the approval of another sewer bond issue, which was okayed by the voters in Sturgis last year. The years of long service by Judge John Flanders were recognized by the Sturgis Exchange Club last week. Mr. Flanders' name was inscribed in a permanent record kept by the club entitled The Book of Golden Deeds. Flanders is the oldest active graduate of the University of Michigan Law School and has held many different civic offices in Sturgis. He's now 88 years old and is still active. The Journal reported that the award was presented to the judge at a special Exchange Club meeting last week. Well, there seemed to be an abundance of humorous stories in the news in Western Michigan last week, and here is Ed Lasko to bring you some of those stories. Ed?
Thank you, Doctor. Does anyone know any good jokes? One that would be usable at a public celebration? The Lowell Ledger reported this week that the men in charge of the Lowell Showboat are so anxious to secure good jokes for the minstrel show that they'll give away free tickets in return for good jokes. The performers know that good jokes are the spice of any minstrel show, and they intend to have the finest. The Paw Paw Courier Northerner made an appeal last week for a new list of adjectives to be used in descriptions of wedding gowns. The June wedding season in Paw Paw has been so busy that the linotype operator at the Courier Northerner has been swamped with descriptions of satin and marquesette, carnations and gardenias, and all of the other paraphernalia connected with weddings. After a certain number of stories, the writer seemed to have run out of original descriptions. Well, it seems the heat got the better of the staff members of the Allegan Gazette one day last week. Herewith, we would like to quote the statement printed at the masthead of the Gazette. Only 4 pages, so don't look for any more. The printer was leaving for his vacation. The ad man was tired. The humidity was high and our spirits were low. And tomorrow is the first day of summer and the day will be 15 hours and the night but 9. Reading time, 5 minutes. And so the Gazette reader spent only 5 minutes reading that edition. The Allegan Gazette also carried a story on 3 men who became involved in a fight near Fenville the other day. 2 of the men were veterans of the First World War, and the other was a veteran of the Second War. The men became involved in a brawl in trying to decide which of the 2 wars was the most important. 2 of the men were seriously injured and required medical attention, but they didn't succeed in settling the question about the wars and their respective importance. The Hastings Banner isn't very impressed by the stories about the Salem Serpent reported seen in a lake near the village of Salem, Michigan. Salem Serpent is reported to be about 17 feet long. Now, this would run a very poor second to the monster which plagued Carter Lake near Hastings back in 1906. The unusual feature of the hunts for the Carter Lake Serpent was that Sylvester Gruzel, a leading Hastings figure of that time, would dress in a brightly colored lodge uniform and lead his stalwart searchers on their quest. However, all of Sylvester's expeditions terminated at a point where a large keg of liquid refreshment and quantities of food were to be found. The enthusiasm mounted as the liquid in the keg decreased, and everyone had a wonderful time. The Banner commented that Sylvester must have known exactly how Carter Lake Serpent should be hunted. The city of Sturgis was almost minus 1 good clock this week. The clock had been returned to the manufacturer out east for repairs and then almost forgotten. The city manager wondered what had happened to the clock and wrote to the manufacturer. The reply stated that the clock was about to be thrown on the scrap heap unless a bill sent last December was paid at once. Well, even though the city clerk could find no record of having received a bill, the check was sent out immediately. The Sturgis Journal reported that the clock finally arrived safely this week and has been put back in place over the fire station doors. Now, back to Dr. Dunbar.
Thank you, Ed. Well, just about the luckiest boy in Western Michigan is 17-year-old Rex Young of Holland. The Holland Evening Sentinel reported last week that Rex would start next month on a year's voyage down the Atlantic coast, through the Panama Canal, and up to San Francisco. Rex is going to be a crew member on a ship owned by Stanley Dashew of Grand Rapids, who is planning the trip. Dashew invited Rex to join his crew after hearing of his sailing ability. The Benton Harbor News Palladium carried the news last week of the death of Floyd Fitzsimmons, whose colorful career included sports promotion in Benton Harbor and the nearby area and political activity as a lobbyist in Lansing. Fitzsimmons was indicted by the famous Carr Sigler grand jury in connection with a reported bribe offered to Michigan legislators. The Ionia Sentinel Standard reported last week that Lake Odessa is going to have the honor of presenting Michigan's first 1949 fair. The 15th annual Lake Odessa Fair is scheduled for July 3rd and 4th this year. Included among the outstanding events on the program are full schedules of harness racing and a speech by Governor G. Menin Williams, according to the Lake Odessa Wave. The Ionia Sentinel Standard also reported news of the Ionia Free Fair. Entries in the race for title of Queen of the 1949 Ionia Celebration opened last week. The 72nd annual convention of the officials of the Danish Evangelical Church will come to a close in Greenville today. Over 1,000 people came to Greenville from all parts of the United States for the affair. The convention got underway Tuesday morning and will end this afternoon, according to the Greenville Daily News. And Greenville was host to another gathering last week, the meeting of the Leadership Training Institute, sponsored by the Industrial Union Council of Montcalm and Ionia Counties. Principal speaker at the conference was Brendan Sexton of Detroit, who is replacing the injured Victor Ruther as UAW Education Director. The city attorney in Three Rivers last week gave an opinion that a 1945 ordinance prohibiting the sale of beer and wine on Sunday was not legal. The attorney, Leonard Weiner, pointed out that the city had not followed the correct procedure in adopting the ordinance. The Three Rivers Commercial reported the opinion last week, but the city commission has not arrived at a decision on what to do about the situation. The Marcellus News pointed out an interesting fact last week. The total cost of the operation of Cass County's government amounted to $22.75 per person last year. The largest expenditure was $12.23 per capita for highway maintenance and operation. The Athens Times pointed out that the opening of the fishing season yesterday wasn't just the opening of a season of fun. It was the opening of a big business season. The Times estimated that more than 1 million fishing licenses will be issued to Michigan residents and visitors this year, and the income to the state of Michigan is tremendous. But of course, it must be remembered that the license money helps to support those facilities which make better fishing: fish hatcheries, the stocking of various lakes with supplies of fish, and experimentation in fishing regulations. The advantages of living in the country were pointed out by the Cassopolis Vigilant last week, when Howard Davis of Jefferson Township near Cassopolis suffered a heart attack a few weeks ago. He was ordered not to do any heavy work. As a result, almost 100 of Davis's neighbors got together in typical country fashion to do his farm work for him. The workers baled a total of almost 700 bales of hay for Mr. Davis during their stay on the Davis farm. In addition, the workers had plenty of food which had been donated by other neighbors. The Vigilant stated that this display of friendliness shows that living in the country, where one has real friends, is very important and far outweighs the bright lights of the city. Well, the city of Allegan will soon have parking meters to serve as an additional source of revenue. The Allegan City Council took the final action on the acquisition of the meters last week, and now only a few details remain before the meters will be installed. The Allegan News reported that 200 meters will be purchased by the city and installed in the near future. A crowd of 3,200 people attended the Grass Day held at the Kreidler Farm near Middleville last week. The Hastings Banner reported that the event was held in ideal weather after being postponed by rain the previous week. Various experts from Michigan State College were on hand to discuss methods of more efficient farming and better use of land. The affair was the first Grass Day in Berry County history. And now here's your announcer with a word about the weather. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan, heard each Sunday afternoon at 1:45. Listen next week at this same time for your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.